beginning of the vocation of St. Francis, as he knelt beneath the cross of San Damiano, and our Lord spoke to him from the cross, he heard the words, "Francis, rebuild my church, for as you can see, it's being destroyed." And at that moment, he was kneeling in the little chapel of San Damiano that was actually broken down. The roof was caving in, the walls were crumbling, and our Lord had given him a command to restore the church. And so without asking any questions, St. Francis got up and picked up the stones that were lying on the floor of the church and began to put them back on the wall. And because the little church was poor and others had come before him to take some of the broken stones and use them for their own work, he had to go out and beg new stones from people and mortar and the materials that he would need to rebuild San Damiano. And when he was done with San Damiano and he had made a fitting dwelling for that crucifix that had spoken to him, he knew in his heart that his work was not done. So he went to another church that was not far away in Assisi, St. Peter's, and began to do the same thing there, always hearing in his own mind the words of our Lord, "Francis, rebuild my church, for as you can see, it's being destroyed." And so he rebuilt St. Peter's, and then after that he knew that there was down below the city on the plain, the Umbrian plain, a little dilapidated church, one of very ancient origin that was dedicated to Our Lady under the title Our Lady of the Angels. It was also known as the Porziuncola, meaning little portion. It was a little piece of property that had been acquired by the Benedictines who lived in the region. And so he went down there as well, and he found the church falling apart and rebuilt that church. St. Bonaventure tells us that St. Francis responded to our Lord in a very simple and forthright way when our Lord said, "Rebuild my church, for as you can see, it's being destroyed." He looked at the physical church that he was standing in and he saw it broken down, and so he rebuilt it. And when he was done there, he went on to a second and third church. And when he arrived down on the plain at Our Lady of the Angels, he was struck to the heart by the presence of Our Lady. He came to love that place more than any other place in the world because it was most dear to the Blessed Virgin. We're told by St. Francis's earliest biographers that he loved it more than any other place because it was more loved by Our Lady than any other place and because it was frequently visited by angels. And once he had rebuilt that little church, he never left it in reality. He would, of course, go off and preach in various places and go from one place to another, but his heart was always at the Porziuncola, and it was there that he founded the order. It was there that the order increased and multiplied. It was there that the rule of St. Francis was observed in all of its austerity and perfection. And it was there that St. Francis chose to die. There's a little joke that's exchanged between the conventual Franciscans who have the large Basilica of St. Francis on the hill within the city where the body of St. Francis is, and one exchanged also with the friars minor, the observant friars who have the Church of the Porziuncola. The conventuals argue that they have the body of St. Francis, and the friars minor argue that they have the heart of St. Francis because they have the Porziuncola. But he loved this church more than any other place, and a very kind of significant and interesting fact is that St. Francis had a unique and preeminent devotion to His Lady Poverty, the Holy Virtue and Evangelical Council of Poverty. In fact, the observance of Franciscan poverty is something unique within the Church. Most religious are poor as communities or as individuals. They don't own anything personally, but as a community they have property in order to be able to function and do the things that they do. St. Francis wanted to be poor both personally and corporately as a community, so that the order as such owned nothing. And he insisted upon this, and a very radical observance of even personal poverty as well, so much so that, for example, on one occasion he was away from Assisi, and while he was gone, the people of Assisi built a house near the Porciuncola, and the friars were living in the house. And when he came back to Assisi, he heard people referring to the friar's house. So he immediately proceeded to get up onto the roof of this building and began to pull the clay tiles off of the roof. And he ordered the friars to get up there and help him, so that they were going to destroy the building that was called the house of the friars. And until the people of Assisi actually came down off of the hill and came down to St. Francis and said, "This isn't the friar's house, this is our house. We built it, we're just letting the friars use it." And so he stopped what he was doing, and he proceeded to allow the friars to live there as long as it didn't really belong to him. There were times as well that he sent friars out of buildings that were referred to the friar's house. Even the sick and the poor he evicted from buildings and properties that were either too wealthy from his point of view, or were attributed as to belonging to the friars. The Porciuncola itself, the friars did not own. It remained in the property, and still to this day remains the property of the Benedictine monastery. The tradition was, from the earliest times, is that once a year, the friars would take a basket of fish to the Benedictines, and that would be their rent for the year. I don't know if they still continue that tradition, but it was continued for hundreds of years. In any case, the odd thing was that St. Francis told the friars, in regard to the Porciuncola, never leave this place, no matter what. If they chase you out of the front door, come back in through the side door, but never leave this place. And you might say it was an exception to the rule of St. Francis, whereas he didn't want them to own any property. He wanted them always to be in this place no matter what, even if the proprietors threw them out. And the reason isn't because the Porciuncola belongs to the friars, it's because in a sense the friars belong to the Porciuncola. Because this was the place that Our Lady loved, and this was really an icon of the Church. It was poor, it was humble, and yet it was beautiful, it was perfect. And it was there that St. Francis discovered that ultimately his vocation was not simply to pick up stones off the floor and beg stones from other people and rebuild these small churches around Assisi. Ultimately, his vocation was to restore the Church, which is the Bride of Christ and the Body of Christ, to make it what it is called to be, which is, in the end, it's called to be like Our Lady. It's called to be holy and immaculate, called to be without spot or wrinkle. It's called to be perfectly the Bride of Christ. And so St. Francis learned from his experience of rebuilding these three churches that he was more importantly called to rebuild the Church by founding three orders: the Friars, the Poor Clares, and the Third Order. And through the institution of these orders and the evangelical example that was given to the Church by the friars, sisters, and the Third Order, much wonderful work was done on behalf of souls. The conversion and sanctification of souls was accomplished and continues to be accomplished to this day. It remains the work of the Franciscan Order to rebuild the Church by living the life of radical evangelical poverty after the example of Christ and His Most Holy Mother. On one night, St. Francis was drawn to the Porciuncola, and he received a vision of our Lord which our Lord asked him to make a request, said, you know, basically, ask me anything you want. And St. Francis asked our Lord that because he had such a great devotion to our Blessed Lady, and his goal was the rebuilding of the church, the sanctification, conversion and sanctification of souls, he asked our Lord that anyone who come to that church and would honor Our Lady there would receive the complete remission of their sins, a plenary indulgence. And our Lord said, you ask a great thing, but I will grant it to you. Our Lady also appeared at that moment and begged our Lord to grant St. Francis's request. And he told St. Francis to go to Pope Innocent and ask for this indulgence. And so St. Francis did go. And Pope Innocent was taken aback, but he was convinced by the sincerity of St. Francis and also by the vision that he had had. And he granted the request, but he was immediately accosted by some of the cardinals, because at that time, in order to receive an indulgence of that type, a plenary indulgence, you had to do something more extraordinary, like go on a crusade or make the complete pilgrimage to some place like St. James of Compostela or to the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome. And St. Francis was asking that anybody at any time that went to this little church would receive the complete remission of their sins. So Pope Innocent restricted the indulgence just to the day of dedication of the church, which is August the 2nd. And so today we also have an opportunity to receive this indulgence by coming to this church, any Franciscan church, or to any parish church between noon of August 1st and midnight of August 2nd. By coming to the church and praying an Our Father and a Hail, actually the Creed, by praying the Creed and an Our Father, and then fulfilling the usual conditions for an indulgence, which is to go to confession and communion within a week, and then to pray for the Holy Father, and to have complete detachment from our sins. We can receive that plenary indulgence. Today, if you go to Assisi, you can receive that indulgence every day of the year, once a day, every day of the year, if you go to the actual Porciuncola. But the Church, in her goodness, has extended that indulgence to us on August 2nd, to every Franciscan church and parish church where a person may make that visit in honor of Our Lady. Our Lady is indeed the Bride of Christ and the icon, the perfection of the Church. We come to her today with confidence that she will grant us every possible grace and allow us, like St. Francis, to rebuild the Church in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, according to the image and likeness of our Blessed Lady, who is Mother and Teacher and the perfection of all virtue. Our Lady the Angels, pray for us.